Lord, we come thanking you and praising you, Lord. So we appreciate the day, we appreciate the hour, we appreciate your presence. Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon Sister Betty and how you've continually touched her and blessed her, Lord. Lord, we give you praise and glory and honor, Lord, for thou art worthy of all things. Lord, we thank you for being with Brother Benjamin, his family during this time, Lord, and Lord, Sister Esther, Father, each one, as you know every heart and every need. Lord, we just commit them each one to you. May you bless the furtherance of this service now. May you speak to our hearts, Lord, as we come to fellowship around the revelation of this day. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. You can be seated. Now we are happy to see each one. Trust you've had a good day, and we just thank the Lord that we can come together and worship Him. And we know that there's only one way to do that, and that's in spirit and in truth. And so may He just have His way. This is part 48, and for the subject tonight, I took a quote. I rearranged the quote just a little bit. The quote was "Manifesting the Pure Word Bride," and so I put the title as "The Pure Word Bride Manifested," and that's where we are, and that's the promise of this day, and that's where we come to at the end time. Brother Brandon made it clear all the way through that what they had was the potential of what was coming, and so. He made it clear that what we have is what they were looking for all the time. Amen. That it's not that it's coming anymore, but that it's here and that we have it. And so they had a partial revelation. They had a part of the word. And so I'm going to start here in this message in the Sardesian church age. And some of these quotes, once again, I told you some last time. Some of them were repeating, and so we've read them a while back as we were bringing some other angles. And so I want to read them again because there's a specific point that's going with what we're talking about and showing where we're at this time in this hour. So in that message, I'm skipping the first part, and you probably don't have the quotes yet, but he's sending them out now. I see them coming out. So I'm dropping down to the... Brother Brandon was talking to, I think it was a Lutheran brother who had a college. They had a college, a seminary, and they also had a farm there where the students could work on this farm as they were going to college. And so this brother, he was really honest, and he was forthcoming. He told Brother Brandon, he said, you know, we want the Holy Ghost. He said, want it. And he asked him, he said, in his question is his answer, but he doesn't realize it. He's asking Brother Branham, do you think we have the Holy Ghost? So by him asking that question, he's telling Brother Branham that we don't have it. We want it, but when you have this revelation in this day, I just think you know that you have it. I know the story what Brother Branham said about the man who had it. Yeah, that's true. And when you're coming into it, sometimes you don't realize how far along you are. I realize that. But I think when you come to the reality of the revelation of this day and God, you have been born again by the word of God, I think you know it. And so here they're asking if Brother Branham thinks they have it. And he told him, he said, well, potentially you have it. So that means there's still something more to come. And he said that's what Luther had, that's what Wesley had, that's what Pentecost had. They had it. They were looking yet for something more to come than what they already had. They needed something more. So Brother Branham He gave him a little example, and he said there was a farmer who planted his corn, and he said he did all the work, he plowed the field, he prepared it, he did everything that needed to be done, and then he planted his seed and he put the fertilizer out, and said then he waited, he watered it, he waited, and said then after some days, a week or two, said there was just the field was covered with a little green blade. And so Brother Branham asked him, said, did he have corn? He asked the man, he said, did he have corn? And he said, well, in one way he had corn. Another way he didn't have corn, because he didn't have the seed. He didn't have the life of what it was. But potentially he had corn. But he didn't have it. He couldn't go out there and pick anything and eat it. He couldn't have anything out there he could go and put up and plant the next year. He didn't have that. He just had the potential of it. So Brother Branham said, potentially, yes. And that was you Lutherans in the Reformation. Putting forth your blade, see, the corn began to grow. And after it had rotted in the ground during the Dark Ages, after several joints there were fine, large stalks, and one day a tassel of silk appeared. And that tassel of silk looked down at the blades and said, you old formal Lutherans haven't got anything. Look at us. We're the breeders. See, the great missionaries. Our day is the missionary era. And the tassel age was the Wesleyan age. And they were the greatest missionaries and even excelled us in our age. See, what did that age do? It's scattered like the pollen in the breeze. And I know that right now you understand what he's talking about. I can wash my truck, and one day, sitting under these trees, it's a yellow film. It's a yellow film over the truck because the pollen is scattering. The pollen is falling. And it shows you how the natural and the spiritual type so perfectly in those ages and in those messages and in what God was doing through the church ages, that they were typed as the tassel. They were typed as the pollen that was being spread. And there it was, the greatest missionary age that had ever been in the history of the world was during that time. And there the type was perfectly, perfectly right. So it was scattering. And so now, what is the next step? Logically, we think that it is the actual forming and the harvesting of the grain, the completed cycle. But not so. There is another stage. And that stage is when the husk or the chaff is formed to cover the seed. And that's exactly what happened in this spiritual cycle. In this spiritual cycle, there was a covering for the seed. There was something that hid the seed. Brother Branham said, protected the seed. It was hiding it. It was hiding it. And at the turn of the 20th century, in the start of the Laodicean age, there was a widespread belief that the Holy Ghost was falling exactly as it did at Pentecost. There was a widespread belief. Remember Brother Branham talked about, there was a rumor that went around. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. People were talking in tongues and claiming to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But I have walked in the grain fields many times, and there in late summer, I plucked the heads of wheat and rubbed them in my hand to get some grain, when to my surprise, there wasn't any corn of wheat. Now, what's he saying? He's saying they didn't have it. He's saying they didn't have it. That under that covenant that they were under, they didn't have it. They had something else. They had a portion. They had a part of the word. They had a part of the revelation. They were covered under the blood, but they didn't have the life. I'm going to say it like that because he said it like that. So you can say they had it in part. You can say they had it potentially. You can say it a lot of different ways. But when he gets right down to it, he says they didn't have the life. They had the shuck, they had the stalk, they had the tassel, they had that covering, they had all of that, but they didn't have the life. See? See, there wasn't any corn of wheat in that chaff. Though indeed it surely looked as if wheat were there. This is a perfect picture of the so-called Pentecostal move. There being no life there is the perfect picture. No life being there in the chaff is a perfect picture of the so-called Pentecostal move. And that this is a proven fact is found in that these people organized on a doctrine and bound themselves right back, as did the organizations ahead of them, proving that instead of being the real seed, instead of being what? Instead of being the real seed, they were chaff, or protecting cover for the wheat seed which should come. The chaff stage was the danger period that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24:24. Deceiving the very elected, if it was possible. Oh, man felt that this husk, how did they perceive this? They felt like it was. They felt like this was it. See, that this husk, the so-called Pentecostal age, was the true seed. That's what they thought. But it proved to be just the carrier to carry the life over into the age in which the true restoration comes. And the wheat bride is manifested in the power spoken of by Ezekiel 47:2-5. This is the promise. This is the prophecy of the power to the bride in the last days. And I know we've read it recently, not too long ago. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. Now, I want to go back up, and I just want to read it again. One more time. What we're reading. What he's telling us that we're reading in Ezekiel. He said, but it proved to be just the carrier to carry the life over into the age in which the true restoration comes, and the wheat bride is manifested in the power spoken of by Ezekiel 47:2-5. Now he's saying, here he's looking eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. And he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And he measured 1,000, and he brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. Now remember, you know there's so many different types in the scripture, and Brother Branham, look how many times he talks about these things, and he takes those three stages and he says, there's Luther, there's Wesley, there's Pentecost. There's those three stages, then it comes to the perfection. Then it comes to the true seed. It comes to the true life after that. Here's the fourth. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Now, what was the promise? What are we reading here again? The wheat bride is manifested in the power. This power that he's talking about here. See? It was a river that could not be passed over. It's unlimited. It's overwhelming. It's these stages of the water coming up. This last stage is something that has to, you can't walk through it. It's waters to swim in, see? And it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. The wheat bride is manifested in the power. I'm sorry. I'm repeating once again. She's manifested in that power. Amen. So that's where we are. That's the age, and that's the difference. What he's telling us is, this is the difference now than what it was there. That which was in part there is now is beyond measure. It's beyond measure. It's in the fullness. No man can comprehend it. It comes by revelation, what God allows, what God gives, as he gives it. See, in the Sardesian church age, paragraph, page 260. And the way that it was done was by God's perfect will and programming. The way that it was done, all the way through, God perfectly timing it. God perfectly, every age was perfectly typing that wheat plant. All the way through, perfectly typing it. See? The Lutherans had the Holy Ghost potentially under justification. The Methodists had it potentially under sanctification. And today, it is brought back, a restoration. The Holy Ghost is here. Amen. Remember, he said it never came into existence until the evening time. He said, now that the Holy Ghost has come in this last day, they had it potentially there, but now he's here. Now he has come. Why did they have it potentially? Because it was coming through those stages. It was coming through those stages. The life was coming through. But it hadn't come to the manifestation. And that's the difference. The bride is come to the manifestation of Christ once again. What he was, the true seed. And today, it is brought back a restoration. The Holy Ghost is here. And the seed is not there with a shuck. Paragraph 99. She was not the seed. Mary was not. Just a shuck. Tassel, stalk, carriers of part of the word. Not all of the word. No. Part of the word. She was not a carrier. It wasn't carriers of all the word. Those stages were not carriers of all the word. And what did he say Mary was? What was Mary? She was the shuck. Carriers of part of the word. Not all the word. Luther had justification. Wesley had sanctification. Pentecostals had the restoration of the gifts. But when the word come, see? When the word come. Now, they could produce that. Justification will save a man. You believe that? Sure. It was a carrier of the word. What, it collected it for that age. Wesley collected it for that age. Each one. They had a part. But the life was moving on. It was going somewhere. God had a plan. God had a purpose in what he was doing. Sure it is. But it's the carrier. See? Let me back up. I skipped a little bit. See, sure, it was a carrier of the word, just the same as I believe the stalk is part of the wheat. Sure it is, but it's the carrier. It ain't the life. Now, that's where I got it. That's where I got the statement. It's not the life. The life is in the seed. There the life's coming through. But the seed is where the life is residing. That's where that's where it ends. That's where it brings it to full manifestation. That's its domain right there. See? But that it ain't the life. Then along come a sanctification. How many believes in sanctification? You believe the Bible, you have to, sure. So still, that's not. It's a little more like it, see? That's two more words. And then come the Pentecost, the restoration of the gifts, speaking in tongues. They call it the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues. There, they call that the initial evidence, which brought forth what? The shuck. But they denominated. They denominated. It brought forth the shuck. It was protecting the seed. It was covering the seed. It was hiding the seed. So they couldn't see the seed. until the shuck died. And when the shuck died, then the seed was going to come into view. Not before. Not before that. But when you come to say, I and my Father are one, huh? And these other things, when does that happen? We just read it. In this day. This is that day. When you come to say, I and my Father are one, that's this day. This is the day that you will know I'm in the Father and the Father in me. I in you, you in me. This is that day. And these other things. Then the shuck pulls away from it. But the real, genuine bride church will bring forth the entire Word of God in its fullness and in its strength. What's the bride going to do? This pure Word bride that's being manifested, it's going to bring forth the entire Word. In its fullness and in its strength. For he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Notice, in the wombs of Mary was the seed. See? Oh my. Paragraph 100. But when the seed was delivered, it said, I come to do the will of him that sent me. I and my Father are one. Listen, when the bride comes today, she's saying the same thing. She has exactly the same ministry. Brother Branham said they're the same ministry. Amen. I and my Father are one. If I do not his works, believe me not. There was the seed. Which one of you can condemn me of unbelief? Huh? Which one of you can condemn me of sin? What the Bible has promised I would do, I've done it. God has verified that. Through me. See? How did he do it? He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Because he had fulfilled the word of the age. He sent that the spirit down upon him. And the prophet identified him. God vindicating that this was the manifestation of God in that age. And he is going to identify his bride in this day. Because that's where he's at. See, who can tell me now? See, the seed in Mary, the shuck, it was close to being that, but it wasn't. It was still in the womb. And notice, in the Pentecostal age, and you just thinking about that, because we were talking in devotions the other night. We just started in the Church Ages book, and Brother Brandon was talking about the Roman Catholic Church. And how they pervert, and how they at Nicaea, Rome, they divided it up into three gods, and they twisted the whole thing. They took their Roman pagan gods and they mixed it with Christianity, and that's what Satan is always trying to do. He's just trying to mix a little something with it, to make it still look like God. But yet, to contaminate it, to pervert it just a little bit. That's what he specializes in. Notice in the Pentecostal age, through the Lutheran age, through the Wesleyan age, it's been the same thing through this Pentecostal age. Now notice, at the opening of the seven seals, Revelation 10, the full word is to be born into manifestation again. That's the bride. That's the bride. That's what the bride is called to manifest. The full word. Just what he did. He was the fullness of every word that God seen that he was going to be in that day. He manifested every word. And Brother Branham said, this bride will manifest every word, every promise that God had spoke of her. And he said, nothing can hinder it. Nothing's going to stop it. The full word is to be born into manifestation again. It's being born by the new birth in the bride.
That's right.
And vindicated by the Spirit of God. So he's going to vindicate it. He's going to prove it. If it's in you, God's going to prove that it's in you. In the full strength, as it was when he was here on earth. Manifested in the same way, doing the same things that it did when it was here on earth. Amen. Hebrews 13:8 said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be to God. And in Luke 17:30, Jesus said, in the last days, as it was in the days of Sodom, when the Son of Man will be revealing himself again, it'll be the same thing. It will be the same. Praise be to God. I'm skipping paragraph 3 here, and I'm dropping down to where Brother Branham said, there is one prophet messenger to this age. On the basis of human behavior alone, anyone knows that where there are many people, there is even divided opinion on lesser points of a major doctrine, which they all hold together. Who then will have the power of infallibility, which is to be restored in this last age? Now here's where the title came. For this last age is going back to manifesting the pure word bride. That's the promise. That's the promise. And that's what God will not fail. He will not fail that. That's happening in the bride. And how is she getting it? Because there's somebody who has the words of infallibility. Amen. And it's always been that way. That means we will have the word once again as it was perfectly given and perfectly understood in the days of Paul. And I can remember, I don't know, 20 or I'd say 30 years ago, maybe even longer than that, that the big argument among the message churches here, we were in Florida at the time, but the big argument, and then after, and during that time we had moved here from Florida, and one of the big arguments was that that prophet could only say, or God was only vindicating, when he was saying what Paul said. That he couldn't preach anything else except what Paul said. And Brother Branham, even when he had, I think he'd crossed over one time and he said that he told him, he said, I preached the same thing that Paul preached. And he did. He did. So people take this quote here and they use that to say, you can only say what Paul said. You can only preach what Paul preached. That's not what this quote's saying. Let's read it again. That means that we will have the word once again as it was perfectly given. That's what we're going to have. We're going to have a prophet. We're going to have a messenger who the word is perfectly given to. Perfectly given to. And perfectly understood. That's the promise. There's going to be a messenger with the words of infallibility, and he's going to bring a message to the people that is going to be perfectly given and perfectly understood. And as we learned, as for the bride has learned that that revelation goes beyond, way beyond what Pentecost had and what everything that they had in the church ages. That revelation, when it comes in this last days, when those seals are opened up, it opens up the fullness of it. And so they didn't have it. They didn't have it. They were looking to it. And that's the reason they can't be made perfect without us. That's the reason Brother Branham said that they cannot rise without us. Without this revelation. It's going to take this revelation to bring it. That means we'll have the word once again as it is perfectly given and perfectly understood in the days of Paul. And I'll tell you who will have it. It will be a prophet as thoroughly vindicated or even more thoroughly vindicated than was any prophet in all the ages from Enoch to this day. Because this man will of necessity have the capstone prophetic ministry. Amen. Praise God. And God will show him forth. And he won't need to speak for himself. God will speak for him by the voice of the sign.
That's right.
Amen. Praise God. He won't have to speak for himself. And that's why he could just sit there and wait on God.
Amen.
And that's why Levi could say, why don't you say something? Why don't you speak up? He said, who's doing this? Me or God?
Amen.
It was reality. It was reality to him that it was God that was doing it. And we, you know, sometimes maybe he wanted to get up. Maybe he wanted to stand up and say, oh, brother, here I am. I've made it. I'm here. Maybe he was going to do that. And maybe God said, don't say a word. Because that man had the ability to hear from God.
Amen.
He had the ability to talk lip to ear with God.
Amen.
From a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ with a beloved bride. And she's a virgin of his word. Now notice that you I hope you're collecting these descriptions. She's the pure word bride being manifested. She's the promise. She's all these different things. And here, he's calling her virgin. She is a virgin of his word. She's a virgin because she knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. By and through the members of the bride will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin. Praise be to God. Just as Christ fulfilled every word that God had said he would, now here it is. In this phase of his ministry, and this is his ministry, it's not it's not us. It is him.
Amen.
The word of promise come to the Virgin Mary, but that word of promise was he himself. Is that right?
Sorry.
Is that what it was?
Amen.
Is that what it is today? The word of promise today is not the bride, but it is he himself.
Amen.
To be made manifest. God was made manifest. He himself acted at that time and fulfilled his own word of promise in the virgin. What about this virgin? You know, he's talking about that natural virgin, and he's talking about this spiritual virgin. He's talking about this bride. It was an angel that had brought her the message. But the angel's message was the word of God. Isaiah 9:6. He fulfilled that at the time, all that was written of him, because she accepted his word to her. You get that? He fulfilled the promise because she accepted it. How's he going to fulfill it today? Because she's going to accept it again today.
Amen.
The bride is going to accept it today. And then he's going to be able to do everything that he had in his mind, every one of those attributes that God had, that he's seen and that he had planned on to manifest in this day, is going to be done through her.
Amen.
But it will be him doing it. It will be him doing it. The members of the virgin bride will love him. And they will have his potentials, for he is their head, and all power belongs to him. And they are subject to him, as the members of our body are subject to our heads.
Right.
Now that's a place, that's a position of where we want to be.
Amen.
That's where we want to be. And that's where Brother Brandon, when he was talking, I think it was in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he was talking about heavenly places. And he said, what is heavenly places? He said, it's the believer's position in Christ. It's the believer's position. It's coming to that place. It's coming to realizing and recognizing. It's coming into that oneness. And from your natural birth as a child, even as young as Annalise is, But even before that, even from just being a year old, and you're beginning to do things, you're beginning to make movements, you're beginning to make sounds. You go, as you go along, it's awkward at first, but you come to that place and your whole life is based on it. You don't have to think about it. After 1 or 2 years, you're not thinking about it. You're not saying, you're not telling your hand, reach over and get that glass.
Right.
You're not doing that. When they're just months old, they're doing that. They're concentrating. They're trying to coordinate that hand and get it to go over there and grab a hold of something. And it's fascinating sometimes to watch a child as they're reaching their hand over there. And sometimes they'll drop their hand and it'll hit right beside what they want. But when you get from the time you're a couple years old, your body becomes so in tune that you don't think about it anymore. If you see something you want, you reach for it. You get it. If you want to move, you just start walking.
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's saying, that we will be with him. That's the kind of oneness that he's talking about.
Amen.
That's the kind of how the preeminence that he says that he's going to have. That's how subject we are going to be to him.
Amen.
I'm telling you. In one way, it's there completely. It's there. In another way, I think sometimes we're lacking a little bit.
Amen.
But I think what's lacking is up here. Is up here because the mind is still somehow hindering what God's doing.
Amen.
But I read a quote, and I've got it somewhere, and I don't know where it's at. I wish I had got it in here. But it just is simply a reality, because sometimes people, they look at me and they say, well, he hasn't got there yet. And in one way, you're exactly right. And in another way, you're wrong.
Amen.
And because when people are looking for perfection, they're looking for a group of people, and every one of them is making every move in the flesh perfectly, physically. That's not what God promised to have.
Right.
What he promised to have was a spiritual bride, and that she was going to be perfect in this revelation.
Amen.
And that perfection is when we realize that we are subject to him, just like my hand is subject to me.
That's right.
And my hand has absolutely no say-so, no control.
Amen.
And it just does it. I don't even think about it. You don't think about it. If you go in there to brush your teeth, you grab the toothbrush with one hand, you grab the toothpaste with the other hand, you open it and you put it on there, and you just start doing it. The reason it's already happening, the reason it's already, the promise is already in motion in the bride. Brother Branham said, because it's him.
Amen.
It's him doing it. It's him moving you every day. Sometimes when something great happens, or maybe something supernatural or something spiritual, or we have a good day, or God lets us witness to somebody, and we think, praise God, I was led of the Spirit. You're led of the Spirit every day.
Amen.
Every day God is moving you. When things don't look good, when things look bad, when things are painful, when it's all going, you think south, you think it's all going wrong, he's still leading you.
That's right.
Because he's got you.
Amen.
He's got you. He's in control. And it don't matter if this hand is in pain or this hand feels good, it's still subject to this same mind all the time.
Amen.
God's got it under control.
Yes, sir.
And he's moving you. Whatever you're going through, he knows you're going through it. He's there with you. He sees the other side.
Amen.
That's where this is hindering you, because it don't see the other side. So it's worried about right now. He's not worried about that. He sees the other side. He knows where you're going to end up.
That's right.
He's already got that taken care of.
Amen.
Praise be to God. This is some kind of subjection.
Yes.
Think about it. Just as you are in control of this body, So is He in control of you. 100%. And every morning you wake up, and every move you make all day long, and when you lay down at night, and while you're sleeping all night long, He's right there.
Amen.
In control. Because He's right here in control.
That's right.
He took over at the new birth.
Amen.
But even before the new birth, He had His angels encamped about you. He had His hand upon you. He was protecting that gift. He was protecting that seed. He was protecting that physical man that He was coming to incarnate Himself in at the appointed time.
Right.
He had it in His mind, and He was protecting that. All the time He was protecting it. That's why Brother Branham said that any member of the bride, any Christian, can look back to long before you ever became in relationship, long before you ever born again, when you was in sin, when you were back there in sin and you didn't know God, He said there was something in you that you always knew. Something kept telling you, speaking to your heart, speaking to your mind, something kept telling you that you, there was something different about you, that there was a calling on you. I was thinking about Brother Goomba, how he was sharing one time a testimony about his youth and how the things that he went through, and he come to that place, and many people come to it, and many people have contemplated, but maybe they never talk about it, but many have contemplated suicide. And when he was talking about that, just as that prophet was up there trying to grab a hold of them lines, God was protecting that gift. God was protecting that vessel that He was going to manifest that seed in. No matter how, no matter what, how close to death he came, God was protecting it and wouldn't let it happen. He was protecting every one of you. No matter all the things you went through in your life, no matter how many near fatal times that you maybe had a brush with death.
Amen.
I know two or three times over the years, just come right up here to the industrial park here and have a green light going through that light, and one of them people would shoot out there, or one of them going to work would shoot right in front of you and almost T-bone them like that and just slam on the brakes and come to a stop, and they just pass right in front of you.
Right.
How many times do you know that God had protected you? You were so close to something like that.
That's right.
I know, every one of you, you know times you had that brush with death. Satan would have loved, but God was protecting it. God was protecting it. See, this is Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Get the revelation, brother. This generation spurning God's revelation. See, false prophets are doing that. By their fruits you'll know them. See, they're a hybrid. See, they are bred into organization instead of the Word of God. The revelation of God revealing Himself through Christ, who is the Word. Oh, my, that's right. See, same. Notice that predestinated seed. The Holy Ghost alone shows you who He is. No prophets or His kings. And here God is manifested in flesh. Here is the fullness. He's completely revealed and made known to the world. Oh my. Look at Mount Transfiguration. When the testimony of God Himself, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." There stood Moses representing the law. There stood Elijah representing the prophets. See? They passed away. He said, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." There was three represented there. The law, the prophets, and Christ. He said, "This is Him." See, God fully, not manifested in prophets, not manifested by law, but manifested in Christ.
Amen.
He is. Amen. Christ has mercy. The law put you in jail, but couldn't get you out. The prophets is God's justice to condemn you and kill you for it. That's right. But Jesus was God's love and revelation to let you know to a predestinated seed that he had called you. See, this is him. Hear him. He confirms that calling in you. He confirms it.
That's right.
No. The fullness of the Godhead is made known. The secret of mystery is now revealed. That God is manifested. God and man become one. The anointed man, Christ. That's what it was. That was the revelation. Back there, as we read those quotes, where the ones who had the revelation, they identified him as the Son of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the other ones, they said, our law says you need to die because you make yourself equal with God. You call yourself the Son of God. But this one, what was it? What does Christ mean? The anointed one. The anointed that was anointed with the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh my. How can people doubt it? Where once partly Moses had him. Partly. David had him. Oh my. But here he's manifested in the fullness. Deity himself standing on the earth. God in his fullness. To die for the sins of the people, that he might bring his church a sanctified life.
Right.
He had a plan, he had a purpose, what he was doing. That he might have the preeminence in fullness, not in part. He had it in part.
Yep.
He had it in part all the way through. But he was looking for this preeminence in fullness that is just like you, telling your hand to reach out and grab something and doing it, doesn't even think about it. It's the attributes. It's the attributes that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. And you are just coming to that manifestation of it. He's in control of it. He's controlling you. He's pulling you. See? That he might have the preeminence in fullness in his church to manifest every promise in these last days. That he promised for the last days. See? Listen now. Are you? Now just pinch yourself a little now. See? Watch. Amen. It's like when you put yourself there, when you really see yourself right there, that you are in his hand, and that everywhere you go, everything you do, God is there. He's there. He's in control. You say, well, I still make mistakes. Oh, well, yeah, well, don't we all? So did Abraham. Abraham lied, and God said, Abimelech, if my prophet don't pray for you, you're going to die, and your country's going to die, and your people's going to die. And you can say that's not right or fair. Well, you can say whatever you want to. But that was God's son. Abraham was God's son. And God was going, that was his prophet. And they were going to know that this was God's prophet. And you can be sure, after that day, they never forgot that this was God's prophet. And after that day, every time they seen Abraham, they reconfirmed they didn't want to do one thing to cross him. Because they knew that the God of Abraham was the God of heavens and earth. And so God made it clear. He vindicated his presence with that man. Brother Michael was talking about that yesterday when we were visiting Sister Betty. And that's exactly what it is. And that was really good. And I didn't even think about that. And this just came up. I didn't think about it until just now. So I'm going to share what he was saying. But in the Bible, God so vindicated himself with those men, with those messengers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, each one of them coming right down. Why? Because God was vindicating. Look at Jacob. He was a rascal. He cheated. He cheated his father-in-law out of every bit of it. Did he deserve it? Yeah, he deserved it because his father-in-law cheated him over and over. Does that mean I can go lie and cheat because somebody lied and cheated me? But that was the Son of God.
Amen.
And God put his blessings on him, and that's how it was going to always be. Now, his corrections came from God.
That's right.
That's where they came from. And God had full... He had his hand on him. Everything that he did, all the way through his life, God had his hand. But the point was this. When God makes the people know that the God of Abraham is the only true God, the God of Moses is greater than Dagon, is greater than whoever the Egyptians worship, whoever the rest of them. And so, and this is what Brother Michael was saying, it got to come to that place where the God of the bride,
that's right,
they recognize God in you.
Amen.
They recognize that God that created the heavens and earth is in you.
That's right.
And they know that there's something different.
Amen.
And they can identify it just like that.
Yep.
The God of Stanley Goomba.
Amen.
That's the real God.
Amen.
The God of Michael Hendershot.
Right.
That's the real God.
Amen.
That's the one. Why? Because God vindicates his presence.
Yes.
God vindicates his presence over and over and over. What was Jesus manifested for? What was the bride manifested for? Huh? To show God.
That's right.
He was God. He had to be. No man could die. No prophet could die. He was God. He was the God of the prophets. He was the prophets. He was the kings. He was the history. He was that was to come. He that is, and he's that to be in the last days. See? The same yesterday, today, and forever. He was manifested for that purpose.
Right.
And through that purpose, he achieved a church. That he, the fullness of God, might bring to pass every promised word of God in these last days.
Amen.
When he gets the preeminence in the church, the position, huh? Heavenly places, when the bride finds herself in that position, her place, his place in the church, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also. Even more than this shall he do, for I go to my Father. See, that was his purpose. There was the manifestation. And now today, he wants to get somebody that can so see it, that they can let the word, dot, dot, dot. See? Jesus so seen it. So, was so perfectly born for the day until that God expressed every move that he made.
Amen.
He was God's revelation.
Amen.
God revealed. Praise be to God.
That's right.
Oh, what is the bride revealing? She's revealing him. Him, because he has got her. Now he sanctified with his spirit and blood a church that he might make every promise in this last days be revealed. Now, see, he could go back and pick up what these other fellows has left off in the last days and by his Holy Spirit reveal all the mysteries of the seven seals. See, he is expressing himself. Why? He's that word. And that word he's revealing is revealing himself. That's his purpose. That's why he died. That's the second fold of his threefold manifestation. First, to express himself in Christ, then express himself through the church, and the same thing. Christ was the Word, and the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them.
Amen.
That's right. But when they accept a hybrid denomination, how can the Word go through it? See, it's grounded. Then it causes a short and blows a fuse. But when the current is flowing freely, the Word of God, it expresses itself. The works that I do shall ye be also. And in the last days it shall come to pass. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And in there would be a time come forth when he could express himself in fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church.
Amen.
There would come a time in that Old Testament, they went thousands of years waiting for that Messiah, because there was going to come a time that he was going to manifest himself in his fullness in the man, Christ Jesus. And then by doing that, he opened the door to bring forth a church. And he'd been working on it 2,000 years. And now, coming down to this last hour, now bringing that manifestation. And he's saying the fullness. He's saying the fullness. Have the preeminence, see? Let me read it again, paragraph 380. And in there would be a time come forth when he could express himself in fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church. Have the preeminences in this church. Oh my. What? The anointed man? Now the anointed people. Oh my. To bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom. Anointed by. Why? Accepting what Eve turned down. And Adam coming back with the anointing of the word. Because he said, my word is spirit, see? Anointed with the word that Eve turned down. He comes back and we accept.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm so thankful. I'm just so thankful that we're living here in this part of the manifestation. If we had lived there, then we would have been waiting for this. But we got to come forth during this time when he's bringing it forth, the climax of the whole thing. And I'm closing here. Paragraph 89. Oh, this is in the token. And the church in this day that's received the token of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that the blood has been shed and that the Holy Ghost is upon the church. Without us, then they cannot rise. Did he say it? But they're depending on us. For God promised he would have it. Somebody's going to be there. I don't know who it is going to be there, but somebody's going to receive it. And the only thing I'm responsible for is to preach it. It's God's business to look out for that predestinated seed. There's going to be there, though, because they're going to be there, each one of them, one with the other, the water age, the blood age, and now the token age. Praise God. And remember, Israel come through many things, but it was in the evening time when the token was required, not in the morning. Not in the preparation. Remember that wheat plant now.
Amen.
Remember what all that he said about it. The 14 days of the keeping up of the lamb. Israel knowed that something was coming. So did Luther know it. So did Wesley know it. Finney, Knox, Calvin. They knowed it. This is it.
That's right.
This is it. This is what they were waiting for. What they were longing for. What those prophets talked about. They knowed it was coming. This is it. It's not in the future. It's here right now. It's in the bride. It's living in the bride. They knew there would come a time that the pillar of fire would return back to the church. They knew there would come a time that these things would happen. But they didn't live to see it. But they looked forward to it. Israel knew something was coming. But it was in the evening time when that lamb's blood, the token, was placed upon the door. Yet the lamb was already put up. That's right. It's been the lamb all the way through. It was the lamb in Luther's time. It was the lamb in Wesley's time. But now, it's the token time.
Amen.
See, that each house must be covered by the token. Each house of God must be covered by the token. All that's inside of it must be covered by the token. The house of God is the body of Jesus Christ. And by one Spirit, we're all baptized into this token and become part of it. That God said, when I see this token displayed, I'll pass over you What an hour. What an hour that we're living in. Oh my. Paragraph 95. I think this is it right here. Now the very token itself. I mean, sorry. Now the very Spirit itself is the token. The Holy Spirit itself is the token, not the blood. The blood was shed at Calvary. That is true. But the blood, as far as it is, went back into the elements from which it come, from the food that he lived on. But you see, inside that blood cell was a life. And that started the blood cell to moving. The chemistry had no life in it itself. Therefore, it could not move. But when the life come into the chemistry of the blood, it formed a cell. It formed its own cell. Then cell after cell, then it become a man. And that man was God Emmanuel in flesh. But when that life returned back, the chemistry went to it. But the token is the Holy Ghost upon the church that they see Christ. That they can recognize his presence. It has to be, because a woman and her husband become one. They become one. And so does the bride and Christ become one. The ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. And remember, he's quoting Acts. These former theses, O Theophilus, have I wrote to you that Jesus began to do and continues to do. His death didn't stop him, no sir. He returned again, not a third person, but the same person returned again in the form of the Holy Ghost. And to continue the work on, continues on, said the book of Acts, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That's the token, and that's the sign. Amen. And where is he manifesting now? He's right in his wife. Right in his wife. And she's moving just like your hand moves, just like your feet moves, just like your voice speaks and your eyes look. Amen. He's got the full preeminence in all things to her. Praise be to God. Amen. You stand together with us. We just thank him and praise him. And I'm going to ask Brother Goomba to come. I've been asking him every time. I hope he don't mind. But I really like to sing a song at the end. I'm just not a song leader. And so God bless you.
You're a better song reader than me. I think. can we sing that, Ozzy? I don't know whether it's known here. There's a song here good. I see a crimson stream of blood. You have that? Remember that. I see a crimson stream of blood. Let's see. What number is it?
207.
207. All right. 207. Ah, yeah. Well, don't go for sure. That was nice. That was nice. It doesn't seem like it is exactly like that, but we know it is. It might not be seen because you're just a human being, just like any other. You're walking around just like any other. Mm. But we know there's something that has happened inside the bus. We know for sure it's not, and I say, this is not, you cannot gamble, you cannot think it might be. No, it's something that we are sure. Yeah. We're sure. And it's something that is reality. And it's good. This song does not say like that, but it's about a crimson something, something, some blood. But it's a prophet who saw something. I think he was in a bar or something. I think they were in a hotel, and I think, or in a restaurant or something. But there was something that I think a soldier or something that were not behaving very well with a woman. I think a brother or somebody told him, or himself, I don't remember exactly, told him to call for fire and burn. I mean, because it was so bad, and he was supposed to be actually to have a better behavior. And then he saw a vision, a crimson surrounding the world, crimson sound. The wrath of God would come and crush this world and burn it, but there's a crimson blood. But I wanted also to say that you just headed to that because the Holy Ghost has gone up. Remember the scripture in Thessalonians, the Holy Ghost will go up. He's gone up. The up that I'm talking about is not rapturing like that.
Amen.
Because the bride is not here. The bride is not on now. I mean, you're not in this dimension. You're not a dimension, but you're not in this realm. You're not in this realm of...
Amen.
That's why it doesn't affect us. The people of this world affected by the things of this world. But that's why it doesn't affect me. It's only a body that you see around here. But I'm in Christ. And that's why he says, when he comes, and then he comes with the bride. It's like we're somewhere else, and the bride coming is, he comes with the bride. Because we're somewhere else. We're somewhere else. The new you is somewhere else. With Christ, in Christ, in the position, in a certain position. Whatever you are, you might be a finger, you might be a toe, whatever you are, there is something in Christ.
Amen.
I said I'm not going to be preaching after Brother Don. Get that hold of me a bit, but I'm sorry about that. Okay, let's sing this song. Can somebody start it? Like Adam?
Uncovered seed of sorrow, where sin's demands were pain, and rays of hope for tomorrow, across the path I see a crimson stream of that it flowed from Calvary. It flames with grief that throne of God are sweeping over me. Today in a cold and turn away my soul from its salvation is in my heart to say. I see a crimson stream of light, it flows from Calvary. Sunness wisdom, you've seen I used to pray. I look away to Jesus and he tells me to say, I see a crimson stream of light, it flows from Calvary. It's that throne of God are sweeping over me. And when we reach the a creek, some stream of blood. It pours from Calvary. It rains with rain that grew from God, sweeping over me.
Number 3.
When gloom and sadness sweep, you sing I used to bring. I look away to Jesus, and He tells me to say, I see a crimson stream of blood, it flows from Calvary. It's liquid, red, that throne of God I see in all my
dreams. That's exactly right. Nothing should hold you. You got it. He's God. He's your Father. Don't feel like you've seen, you done it. No, you done nothing can be imputed on you.
Yeah.
Start there, have confidence, go to your Father. Yeah. I had another quote there, maybe I'll read sometimes when I get up. But we have it. It's in the book called The Ever Present Water, something. The Present Rock, something. Water from the Rock.
Yeah.
You have it. You have it. And the quote, the thing that really touched me was, the least faith, has he gotten you? The least faith, the person with the least faith here has got it. That can build anything. You can have anything with that. The least that you have. I wish that it's not getting right. I'm not bringing it right. Mm-hmm. But I found that quote to be so powerful. If you think that you are the least here, if you think that you have the least faith, you have the least faith here. If you're in it, if you're in this, the message of this hour, if you're in it, you have the power that can do anything here. You can do anything that you want with that.
Amen.
That's a good. I don't know what I see it, brothers and sisters. If you're in this, this is it.
Amen.
This is God. This is where God wanted you to come to. This is all he's been working since in the Garden of Eden up to now. This is he achieved it.
That's right.
He's come to get it. He's got it in his heart now. When we talk about his second coming, this is it. He wanted this. He's gotten what he was coming to do. If you're in it, you have it.
That's right.
The least who came yesterday here in this and got it, and God got it. It's not even you who got it. When God got you, You got the power than anything else here on earth. You can do others.
That's right.
Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for feeding your children. Thank you for your care, Lord. The purpose you talk, the way you talk to us, Lord God, is you want us to have confidence. You want us to know who we are, Lord. The devil is here, Lord, trying to get that from us, trying to show us that this is not it. We are not in it. This is not what he meant. But we see it, Lord. You've opened our eyes. We can see you achieving what you wanted, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We can see you getting what you wanted. We can see ourselves in you. We can see our position in you. We can see what you've done, Lord. We can see you taking preeminence and controlling, Lord. We can see all these things, Lord. Each individual, Father, is somewhere in you, Lord. And we are feeling it, and we know it, Lord. Father, thank you for this. This is the greatest thing, Lord God. As the quote said when the brother John read it, they could not be perfect without us. Father, this is it. This is what you wanted and you've gotten it. We are part of that, Lord. We are so glad, Lord. We don't have words, Father, to thank you. But Lord, we really appreciate. Take us to yourself, Father. we need that. We need complete preeminence. We need something like the examples given us for touching Lord, about how our members don't even think what they are doing. There's something, an intelligent, a commandment that takes it wherever it goes. And that's it, Lord. We want to grow up to that, where even unconsciously, Lord, we'll be on your heart, Father, doing as the Father wishes. Father, thank you. We give glory and honor. We praise you. We worship you, Lord. There is none like you. There is none like the God of the bride of this age. Thank you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.